Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. We're 5 days out from the pro football finale, and for some, the Broncos and Seahawks home states lend a second meaning to the term Super Bowl. On this rollout of That's History, Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history and education at New York University, offers perspective on America's evolving attitudes around marijuana. Jonathan, thanks for joining us once again.
Good to be here as always.
Jonathan, for history's sake, why don't we start in the mid-30s? Reefer Madness came out in 36, and it's interesting that the original title of that propaganda film was Tell Your Children.
Exactly. You know, and I think we've always been afraid of certain substances and what they're going to do to our children. And we've often expressed our fear of the substances with respect to what's going to happen to the new generation.
Of course, mid-30s is also the time when prohibition was lifted.
Precisely. And what I think is so fascinating is we're at that moment now, in a sense, with marijuana. Of course, 20 states in the District of Columbia have approved it for medical use, but the most radical measures were in Colorado and Washington, which recently legalized it for recreational use. But we are at a kind of end of prohibition moment, at least in those two states, and I would expect in some others. And so I do think it's useful to have a look at what happened after alcohol prohibition.
People drank more.
Well, that's one thing. And I think that anyone who opposes any sort of prohibition has to deal with that fact that once you lift a prohibition, people will use it more. But one of the reasons they used it more in the wake of alcohol prohibition was that advertising was essentially unchecked. One of the things that alcohol distributors and producers had to do was they had to normalize the substance by advertising it. And the way they did that was in 1933, 34, 35, running millions of dollars worth of advertising, often showing people consuming alcohol in very high status, high class situations, wearing nice clothes, using, you know, fancy accents, because obviously during prohibition, the substance had been associated with criminality, with law breaking. So to normalize it, you had to advertise it, and they advertised it as something that not just low-class or criminal elements did, but, well, well-to-do people.
And so that broadened the appeal.
Absolutely. And then in the 40s especially, you see a new set of advertisements that aren't so much depicting well-to-do people using alcohol. They're depicting every man or indeed every woman. So during the Second World War, beer was sold in canteens, in army canteens, and the beer industry pitched alcohol in its ads to soldiers and also to women who were working in factories. Remember, that's the era of so-called Rosie the Riveter, because men are in the front, women are now often taking factory jobs formerly occupied by men, and they too were a target of beer advertisers.
So every man, every woman, almost every occasion.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when you get into the Cold War, there was actually an effort on the part of the alcohol industry, especially the beer industry, to capitalize on the kind of patriotic fervor that swept the country at the time.
It's a natural Cold War, cold beer.
That's exactly it. I'm not sure they used that, but they did use a famous expression, beer belongs. And part of that campaign was showing families at picnics eating hot dogs and also drinking beer. And part of the pitch said, you know, this is a freedom-loving country. Exercise your freedom and drink beer.
So now fast forward to 2014, and we're going to be seeing plenty of those beer ads on the Super Bowl. No marijuana ads yet. Clearly, in those 20 states where medical marijuana has been authorized, and even in Washington and Colorado, there are plenty of restrictions on advertising.
There are. In Colorado, they've created a system in which you're not allowed to advertise in any media where you would expect that 30% or more of the usership or the readership is under 21. So you can't advertise on billboards. And you also, they say you can't advertise on many websites that are pitched at young people. But I think it's unclear at this point what exactly that's going to mean. How do we know who's looking at certain media? How do we know what the readership is? I think we can expect a lot of advertising both in Colorado and Washington. And indeed, there are already entire media groups that are devoted to producing and organizing such advertising.
most Americans now do favor legalization, and I understand you're in that rank as well.
They do. I mean, like a majority of Americans, I think that marijuana prohibition has been a failure, just like alcohol prohibition was. But I'm also concerned about what happens after prohibition. That is, after alcohol prohibition, what you saw was a massive advertising campaign and also just a gigantic market. Some historians think that after prohibition, there was an alcohol dealer for every, say, 190 or 200 Americans. Everybody was selling it, and a lot of them were advertising it as well. I do think marijuana prohibition has been a failure, but I also think that marijuana, like alcohol, is a very dangerous substance, and therefore it's in our interest to minimize its use. And I am concerned that in the wake of prohibition, in part because of advertising, that the use is going to go up.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.
Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history and education at New York University. He joins us once again on That's History.